First of all, before I go any further, surprise, surprise.
Praise his holy and his righteous name. We greet you in the name of Jesus the Christ, who orders our steps and meets us with grace and with mercy. I am just as tickled as I can be and honored to be called by beautiful children of Pastor Coleman to come and to share on this day. 40 years, and we praise God for this relationship. Let me just praise God, first of all, for my wife with me. Amen. To my beautiful in-laws who are with me, my mother and my father. Pop Fountain and Ma Fountain, to, of course, our family, because we got the same family. Praise God to them, and of course, to Crossroads. We just greet you in Jesus' joy. Thank and praise God for First Lady Jessie. The reality is, Pastor wasn't by himself, and we praise God for her. We praise God. It's not easy, amen, and certainly I praise God for First Lady because I know what it's like to have a First Lady, amen, who goes in the opposite direction of what you're trying to do for the Lord and for his church. And so, Crossroads, you've been blessed. And certainly we thank and praise God for Dorshe and Jay, amen. I've been blessed as well with wonderful children. But for God's grace and mercy, we would not have been blessed with these children to turn out the way that they have. You can train your children the right way, and they can still go astray. Amen. And so we praise God that these two wonderful children of God have been the apple of their eye and continue to be so, and have certainly been a blessing to Crossroads as well. And so we praise God for all that God has blessed. Most of all, of course, we thank and praise God for this pastor. And I want to just make sure that you understand how powerful and how awesome God is in our connection. I've been in ministry for 41 years, amen. Was licensed to preach in October of 1978. Amen. And Rev was already running. Amen. And serving the Lord. And then a year later, amen, called a Crossroads. Ain't that something? Amen. A year later, Cross been here and my entire ministry, amen, I've been serving four different churches. Amen. And Pastor Coleman been at one. Amen. Amen. And so I give him the wonderful credit that is due him as a man of God, shepherd of God, and man standing on the promises of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Because for 40 years, amen, I've been at one church 20 years. Next church, I was there for 10. Last church was 5. Amen. And I'm about to quit. No, I'm just kidding. But God is blessed. Amen. And so I am honored to have as my cousin this great pastor of God. And so we praise his holy and righteous name and pray that you will continue this wonderful relationship, continue to grow as you have grown, and allow the Spirit of God to use you. Now, I'm here to share a few words in the Word. And so I'm going to do that. Amen, and I pray that you will be blessed today. Amen. If you will, there is a word in 1 Chronicles, the 14th chapter. We begin reading at the 8th verse, and as we customarily do, standing on the Word of God. 1 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, verses 8 through 17. And as we prepare to do so, I want you to know that Pastor did not know I was coming, and he also did not know what color suit I was going to wear. Amen. But let me tell you how good God is and how powerful God is. I was searching for the suit to wear today, and I picked up what I thought was a black suit. Amen. I have three-piece suits and several black suits, blue suits. I picked up the black, picked up what I thought was the black suit, and when we got to the hotel, get ready to get dressed this morning, I realized the suit was blue. So you need to know that God is so powerful that he made me dress like the preacher. Amen. Amen. So don't say anything about my black shoe. Amen. Amen.
Okay, he got black shoe.
And he got a black shoe. Yeah. Look at God. Look at God. Look at God. Praise the Lord. Now that's really God. Because I ain't never wore no black shoes with no blue suit. The Lord said, we am going to do it. You better. Amen. 1 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 8th verse. Listen to what it says. It says, now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. David heard of it and went out against them. Then the Philistines went and made a raid of the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? The Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. So David and his troops went to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. God did it, David exclaimed. He used me to burst through my enemies like a raging flood. So they named that place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord who bursts through. Philistines had abandoned their gods there, so David gave orders to burn them. But after a while, the Philistines returned and raided the valley again. And once again, David asked God what to do. God said, do not attack them straight on. Instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. When you hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, go out and attack. That will be the signal that God is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. So David did what God commanded, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Gaza. So David's fame spread everywhere, and the Lord caused all the nations to fear David. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. As you take your seats, we just want to share with you walking in the anointing. Walking in the anointing. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your love. We ask now that you would empty me of myself, that I might be able to proclaim your word this morning and bless your people and encourage this house of God to go forth in the name of Jesus. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is in the name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In this text, we see that the Philistines have received word that David has been anointed king over all Israel. However, the Philistines are not pleased at all. And so they make their move. They move quickly to challenge David's anointed leadership. They are pointedly out to get him. Notice what it said in verse number 9. The King James Version says, they spread themselves. They, in other words, mobilized their forces to raid the Valley of Rephaim to capture David. And I want you to note this, not to kill him, but to capture him. Why? Because I believe they wanted to undermine his leadership anointing. They wanted to capture David to undermine Israel's resolve and God's sovereign name. You need to know, brothers and sisters, right here, that Satan and his enemies of the church are always busy trying to capture your leader. Can I get a witness up in here? We're celebrating today 40 years, but I want you to know that the devil for 40 years have been trying to capture your leader. Somebody better hear me up in here. So the Philistines wanted to capture David to take away Israel's confidence, to take away Israel's harmony, to take away Israel's faith. But notice something else. David was an anointed king. He wasn't just chosen. Somebody gonna get it in a minute. But he was anointed by God to be the leader of Israel. Something like, you know, like Crossroads. I know somebody got in a meeting and voted and decided according to the vote that Pastor Coleman would be pastor here. But I want to tell you that not only did you vote it, but God pushed you. God got in the midst because he wanted you to not only choose a pastor, but he wanted you to have an anointed. Oh, come on, somebody. Just as my cousin pastor has been walking in his anointing since his salvation birth, I want you all to have confidence walking in your anointing. It says, touch not thine anointing. Bid the prophet no harm. That means that's not just the preacher. That's talking about everybody who loved the Lord. Can I get me a witness up in here? You need to know that God is going to continue to bless you if you continue to walk in your anointing. Matter of fact, I believe that all who are born again are the anointed of God today. God has great things in store for the anointed. From these few verses, there are things about the anointing of God which I just wanted to come by and share with you. Make sure that you pay attention and understand what the text shows. If you want to have clear victory in your life and faith-filled resolve during your tough times, you need to understand some things about walking in your anointing. All right. And the first thing I want you to pay attention to, first you need to know that the anointing does bring opposition.
Come on, Pastor.
Huh? David is anointed king. God chooses David. And yet, walking in this realm of anointing brought him opposition. All right. The anointing of God upon your life, you need to know, will bring some opposition your way. That there's some folk that just don't want you to be nothing. Can I get a witness up in here? And as long as you're nothing, they'll smile with you. They'll walk. But when you make up in your mind that you want to do the will of God and follow the anointing that is placed upon your life, you're going to have some folk. But isn't it good to know that you can walk in the anointing for 40 years and some folk can be against you and it don't make no difference. Can I get me a witness up in here? David is anointed by God as the king of Israel, and the news is not sitting well with his enemies because David is not just anointed as king, but watch this. He's walking in his anointing. Oh, somebody didn't hear. There is a difference. There is. You see, I'm not concerned this morning if you have been anointed. Because see, that's your past experience. But are you walking? Are you walking in your anointing? Somebody didn't get that. Let me just make it clear right here that being in the presence of the anointing does not make you anointed. Somebody better hear me up in here. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. Wait a minute. Being at McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. Can I get me a witness up in here? Being at Bojangles don't make you no chicken. Somebody. And so the reality is being in church. Does not make you anointed. Come on, somebody. Some folk have been coming every Sunday, every year. Perfect attendance, and they going to hell as soon as they die. Tell folk all the time, there's different ways of even worshiping. Some folk worship demonstratively and others worship quietly. Can I get a witness up in here? So you can't get on people about the way in which they worship. But I'm here to tell you that if you are in the anointed, if you're walking in your anointing, you ought to be able to grin in church sometime. Y'all know, you know what I'm talking about. Come church every Sunday, been coming for years and still got that. When you are touched by God, it's got to make a difference. Can I get me a witness up in here? Only the touch of God upon your life makes you anointed. It was the anointing upon David's life that brought opposition, but David kept on walking. And it's what will bring anointing in your life. Great Apostle Paul experienced this opposition time after time in his ministry. Matter of fact, if you go to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 17 and 18, he says that Satan hindered us. In other words, Paul encountered opposition from the enemy that prevented him from accomplishing some things he had set out to do. Some folk will get in the way. Can I get a witness up in here? Jesus said in Matthew 10:22, "And ye shall be hated of men for my sake." Some folk just can't stand you. Has nothing to do with what you've done, has nothing to do where you came from. It has everything to do with the fact that you love the Lord. I'm always amazed of those folk, amen, when they find out that I'm a preacher, how they look at me trying to see, waiting for me to do something that's not perfect so they can use it as an excuse. Oh, come on, some. To talk down on the preacher or the member or the minister, I'm here to tell you that if you love the Lord, somebody don't like you. The anointing of God upon your life will create opposition in your life. And there's nothing you can do about it. But don't be shocked. Expect it. Because that anointing upon your life is what will cause you to rise above the advances of the enemy. Oh, you got some enemies, but they can't do nothing. Can I get a witness up in here? They can get in the way for a while, but if you hold on to God's unchanging hand, the word declares that greater is he that is within me than he that's in the world. As God's anointed, you are empowered to do mighty exploits. Jesus said, the truth is anyone who believes in me will do same works. And then he says, greater works. Because what? I'm going to the Father. And so if I go to the Father, I'm going to hook you up. Can I get a witness up in here? The anointing may bring great opposition, but it's also going to bring about great exploits in your life. But only if you remain in your walk with Jesus. Well, here's another thing. Notice that the anointing brings opposition. It also brings direction. See, it's somewhere around verses 10 and 11. You pay attention to this thing. It's interesting to see what David did in the face of the opposition. Watch this. David went to the source of his anointing. In other words, David, before he went to attack or respond to the attack, went to God. He went and asked God, what should I do? David remembered his source, and he called upon God with very specific questions. Watch him. Lord, listen, should I go out to fight the Philistines? And when I go out, will you hand them over to me? Huh? How many of y'all want to know that? If you're going to send me out there, Lord, since you know the end, can I get me a witness up in here? The problem with many of us is that we ask God to bless our predetermined plans. Oh, somebody didn't get that. But David didn't go to God with plans. He went to God for plans. See, you got to understand, if you're gonna walk in the anointing, you got to go to God for your plans rather than bringing God, say, here's my plan, are they okay? Can I get me a witness up in here? David didn't go to God with the plans, he went for the plan. And look at how the anointing of God worked in David's life. Look at the text. Where did the Philistines attack? They attacked and arrived in the valley of Rephaim and raided that valley. But when David called upon God and got the okay to attack, where were the Philistines? They were in Baal Perazim. Somebody didn't get that yet. Listen, the enemy raided at one place. God sent David to another place, and at the other place, he defeated the same enemy. Oh, somebody gonna get that. See, by the time David gets word of the attack and the raid at Rephaim, the enemy had already moved. Huh? God knew, and you need to know this good, God knew where the enemy was going next. You need to understand that not only does God know where you're going, God knows where your enemy's going. Huh? So God sent David to that location. When you walk in the anointing, I'm here to tell you, God will direct you. All you got to do is wait on him. See, that's why David could later write in Psalms 37, the steps of the righteous are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of our lives. That was a detail that meant a lot to David. God wasn't sending him on a wild goose chase. He didn't go, amen, to Rephaim. God sent David exactly where he needed to be.
Amen.
And here's the key. When God sends you, you need to obey. Can I get a witness up in here? You need to know today that the anointing of God upon your life will give you direction. And all you need to do is follow God's direction and God will see you through. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through some trials and go through some troubles and have some ups and some downs. But if you follow God's direction, when the game is over, you won.
Amen.
Can I get me a witness up in here? God is not just leading you into battles, but he's leading you to a place of victory.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because you're walking in your anointing.
Amen.
Well, that brings me to this final thought. Watch this. Walking in your anointing will bring you victory. David took his men under the anointed direction of God to Baal Perazim. And there, of course, the scripture says they defeated the Philistines. And after that great victory, David got excited. God has broken in upon my enemies. He used me to burst through my enemies like a raging flood.
Right.
My brothers and sisters, that's why they named the place Baal Perazim, because it means the Lord who burst through. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. The anointing of God burst David through to victory.
Amen.
And I come by to tell you that sometimes your victory comes by bursting through the opposition of the enemy like a flood. After David defeated the enemies, the Philistines, it says, ran and left their idols behind. And David had all the enemy's idols and those things that represented other gods and burned them and destroyed them. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad that God will bless you to take over your enemy's gods and burn them in the fire of the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you right now that when you have the Holy Spirit, it knows how to burn in you without burning you up. But if you're not in God, the same Holy Ghost knows how to burn in you and burn you up. Can I get me a witness? You need to know and be encouraged today as you celebrate these 40 years that God wants to give you a burst through anointing. You've been here 40 years and you need to understand its significance. 40 years means you've been through trials. You've been through tribulation. You've been through your ups and you've been through your downs. You've been through your wilderness. You've been through heartache and you've been through pain. But 40 years, God made a way for you. Can I get me a witness? And if you hold on to God's unchanging hand, he will make a way for you.
He wants to give you, after your 40 years, a burst through anointing. See, you've been walking in the anointing, but now you got the 40. You're getting ready to burst through. See, some of y'all think that you already been blessed, but oh my God, you don't even know. Earth has not seen what Crossroads and William Coleman can do in this community. If you hold on to your burst through, come on somebody, God will. I said he'll burst you through, and I'm glad to report, if you hold on, he will see you through. Won't God do it? Say yeah. But notice what happened next. Philistines hadn't quite learned the lesson. You know how hard-headed children are. So God gives David some new instructions. Says now, the enemy is attacking again. What you want us to do? Should we go get them? Because since you on our side, we know we bad mama jammers now. And God responded, no, the way you won before ain't gonna work this time. What you need to understand is, since I bless you with a burst through anointing, I want you to understand that even though you won the first victory, it was not you that did it. And so just because you're bursting through doesn't mean you go back down in Rephaim, all right, thinking you gonna do what you did before. So let me set this up for you. What I want you to do is go around the enemy, but be quiet. Stay back in the study. And when the time is right, I'm gonna make noise in the trees while they're thinking men are coming from the front. I'm gonna attack with you from the back. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad to report that I've had some enemies through my years in the church to stand before me. I've been able in Jesus to win the battle, but they came on back. But when you let God and let God stand before you, the Lord will make a way around the back, and he will see you through. Can I get me a witness? I don't know about y'all today, but I'm glad today that I've been through the storm, and I've been through the rain. I've been through heartache, and I've been through pain. But God, because I walked in my anointing, because I walked just like John, God has seen me through. Somebody asks, well, you haven't given me Jesus. At seminary, they told me you ain't preached yet until you give me Jesus. Well, the reason why I'm walking in my anointing. Cause Jesus, who died on the cross, Jesus, who was all the way up, came all the way down. Jesus, who left his immaculate countenance with the archangels and the heavenly hosts. Jesus took off his royal robe, laid down in a manger. Jesus then went to Calvary and died on the cross for your sin and mine. And now I'm walking. Now I'm talking. Now I'm running in my anointing. Can I get a witness? Somebody say yeah.
And so, so, if I never see another sunrise, if I never feel the gentle breezes come my way, if I never hear another robin sing, I can truly say, I can truly say, I can truly say, I can truly say, I've been blessed. I've been blessed today. Can I get a witness? I've been blessed. Can I say that one more time?
Yes, one more time.
If I never see the sunrise, if I never feel the gentle breeze come my way, if I never hear the robin sing, I can truly say, I can truly say,
I can truly say,
I can truly say,
I can truly say,
I can truly say,
I can truly say,
that
I've been blessed.
I've been blessed today. After 40 years, I'm still.
I've been blessed today.
Yeah,
I've been blessed today.
Y'all been together for 40 years. Somebody ought to praise him.
I've been blessed today.
Through the storm and the rain,
I've been blessed today.
Through your heartaches and all your pain,
I've been blessed today.
Even through your fire,
I've been blessed today.
Look at what God has still done.
I've been blessed today.
You've been blessed.
I've been blessed today.
I've been blessed. I've been blessed.
I've been blessed today.
That's all right.
May the Lord keep you. May his anointing continue to be upon you as church, pastor, and first lady, children as well. May you walk in your anointing.
Thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
In your anointing. Of course, there might be someone here, didn't even know this was anniversary Sunday. You came just to hear a word from the Lord and to hear from the Lord.
Amen.
And as you've been involved in this worship experience, something has moved upon your heart to try Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mm. We want you to be encouraged. You can try him.
Yeah.
I double dare you to try him. You think you've been going through some trials and tribulations and you don't know what to do. Do you not know that God's been blessing you in the midst of those troubles and trials?
Yes, yes, yes.
Don't worry about what people say. You know, they talked about me when I walked down the aisle. So they gonna talk about you. But if you come to Jesus just as you are, God will open up the windows of heaven, pour you out blessings. You won't have room to receive. You just gotta trust him. Trust in Christ, and he will save you. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. That, you know what that means? That means you don't have to jump no pew. It means you don't have to run up and down no aisles. You don't have to see no spooks. Oh, come on, talk to me, somebody.
Come on, preacher. Come on, man.
Ain't nothing crazy got to happen. All you have to do is confess. And come to Christ and he'll bless you. You can be baptized. You can rededicate your life. But even better than that, you can join the Crossroads Baptist Church. Who has a pastor who's anchored in the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
40 years anchored in the Lord.